KSL at Night was recorded and produced this afternoon. KSL at Night. Some of Utah's top political specialists join a roundtable on the day's biggest stories. KSL is at 102.7 FM and on every smart speaker when you say play KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. I'm Mara Carabello here with Leah Murray. And Leah, if you want to stay fully engaged, make sure that you have tracked the KSL text alert that can give you breaking news. So what you do is you just text the word breaking to 575-00. Text the word breaking and you will be as updated as anyone else. And Leah, we get to have the very first interview. So we're breaking something. We get to have the first interview. The Democratic gubernatorial candidate, Brian King, announced today who will be his lieutenant governor pick for the Democratic ticket. Now, remember, Brian came out of convention, a strong show of support. He will be the Democratic candidate that we'll choose from in the November election. And today he has chosen Rebecca Cummings to be his lieutenant governor running mate.
It's interesting, right?
And it's so interesting. And we're just going to maybe get right to her because we are the very first news outlet that will speak to her. So, Rebecca, congratulations and thanks for joining KSL at Night.
All right. Thank you so much, Mara and Leah, and thank you for having me. I'm excited to give my first interview.
So, Rebecca, I am wondering how you were chosen. Does that make sense? Like, what is it about you that makes you the right choice? How did that process work?
Sure. And that was my first question for Brian, too. Why me? I mean, first of all, I should say I am so honored and humbled to be selected as Brian's running mate. I think Brian is absolutely terrific. I've actually been a constituent of his for the past 11 years, and I've always been really impressed and felt well represented by, you know, the way that he brings real issues to the table, the way he works across the aisle. And I just know he's going to be a terrific governor for the state of Utah. I think that Brian picked me in part because I've experienced personally how Utah politics have become more extreme and polarized. As a librarian, I've been fighting book banning and censorship bills in the Utah legislature that target librarians and teachers. I mean, a few years ago, I never would have dreamed that our legislature would spend their time trying to criminalize librarians or spend time pulling more and more books from school libraries. So I think Brian picked me because we agree that Utahns are looking for a different kind of representation, that they're tired of culture wars, they're tired of extremism, and they want to see a ticket that really brings common sense solutions to real problems.
So what kind of strategies has the King campaign been talking about to, as you say, broaden those who will consider voting for a Democrat in Utah? What kind of strategies are you going to use in the next few months to entice people over to the King's coming ticket?
Sure. Well, I mean, it's obviously a Republican state, but I think we're really hoping to take advantage of the fact that a lot of people are at an inflection point right now. I think a lot of people feel politically homeless. You know, they maybe grew up thinking that they were Republicans, but feel kind of disenchanted with the state of government and feeling like they're not really represented or that their representatives aren't spending time on things that they care about. Brian and I are coming into this with issues that I think resonate with a lot of Utahns, making sure that we get water to the Great Salt Lake, making sure that we're cleaning the air, making sure that our public schools are adequately funded, and making sure also that we're protecting people's individual freedoms, you know, giving them, you know, trusting that they can make the best choices for their own reproductive health or what books that they want to read, for example. And I think that our message really does resonate with a lot of people.
Yeah. And so I didn't notice, you've been saying it, but I read it in the thing before we started having the conversation, that your big platform point is that you are against book banning. As a librarian, I'm a fellow educator, professor up at Weber State. Oh. I am very concerned thinking about academic censorship, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of wondering, like, your point is well taken, but this is a Republican state, and I'm not sure, I'm persuaded legislators came up with these ideas in the night, right? So there must be people in the state of Utah who have concerns about books, who have concerns about curriculum I might be teaching. I'm wondering how, does that make sense? Like, how you combat this? What is the way that your campaign looks to go after this, not just about, hey, Republicans are doing this, but there may be voters who have genuine concerns. Like, how do you address those?
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, that's a great question. And of course, there are people who are concerned about things like, you know, books, for example, that they're concerned that there might be books that contain some sexual content in their school libraries. But that really does represent a minority of people. We've done a ton of polling on this. First of all, we can see that the people who are submitting these book challenges are an extreme minority. In Davis County, for example, it was a single couple that filed 199 out of the 204 book challenges in their system. And I think this is true nationwide, that we have a local minority driving the conversation and getting in the ear of legislators. But I think many, many more people care about things like making sure that we have clean air, clean water, great schools, support for things like public libraries and public parks. And they're far less worried about culture war issues like CRT or book banning, for example. But you are right. It was the book banning fight that brought me to the table in politics. I never would have dreamed that I'd be as involved as I am. But I started to become really concerned about this back in 2018, when it first started, where we were getting these challenges to database and books. And libraries have always welcomed challenges, but they were coming by the hundreds and by people who obviously hadn't read the books, you know, in their entirety, if at all. And, you know, I think that that just is a really great example of some of the extremism and the outrage that's been driving our politics. And the hope for Brian and I is that we can convince people that when we have, you know, single party control in Utah, it leads to this kind of extremism. And a ticket with me and Brian would be a little bit of a check on a legislature and maybe bring things back to common sense solutions and good government.
So one of the things we've been hearing a lot this whole election cycle starting a year ago is this divide between rural Utah and urban Utah. Mm-hmm. What do Democrats offer rural Utah?
That is a great question. But first of all, I do want to say I'm really eager to hear directly from rural Utahns and hear what their concerns are, because I know I still have more to learn in this area. But I think that just in general, what Democrats have to offer rural Utahns is making sure there are things like living wages that keep up with the cost of housing and the cost of living, you know, making sure that more people have health care, making sure we have equity and educational access. I mean, as much as we make a distinction between the urban-rural divide, and of course there are some real distinctions, I think all of us want the same thing, and that is to be able to work hard, live with dignity, have health care, raise our kids, know that there's affordable housing, and I think this is where Democrats have a lot to offer rural Utah.
Your bio, Rebecca, says that you believe in pragmatic governance. Like, can you talk to me, what is that? What do you mean when you say that? What does that look like?
That's a great question. Let's unpack it. I think pragmatic governance is really thinking more about how we can help people and making good decisions over worrying about ideological purity. You know, if we expect someone to be perfect and agree with us 100% of the time, we're not going to have a lot of allies. One of my favorite quotes was actually from Ronald Reagan, where he said, if you agree with me 80% of the time, you're an 80% ally, not a 20% traitor. And I love that, because I think it's okay that we have some disagreement, for example, even within the Democratic Party, but that we're listening to people in good faith, we're talking to lots of different people to hear what they care about, and we're passing laws that actually make their lives better.
Well said. Rebecca Cummings, who is the running mate, the lieutenant governor, on the ticket with Brian King for the Democratic gubernatorial ticket. I'm sure this was the first we've heard from you. I know this won't be the last. Good luck with your election, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So, you know, I mean, the polling shows that Utah Democrats, it's an important disclaimer in front of it, Utah Democrats are very much in alignment with traditional values, but they've had a hard time breaking through party labels. Mm-hmm. So it'll be really interesting. Brian King, a very seasoned member of the House of Representatives, has given up his seat, moved to this, and we heard for the first time Rebecca Cummings, who will be his running mate. It'll be interesting to watch how they move along during this legislative session. Next on KSL, a deal was signed by Colorado River Commission that gives tribes the right to the lease. This is several states and several tribes and the Colorado River, which we depend on for water. So stay tuned on KSL at night. We'll talk more about it.